Welcome to The Vampire Squid, a podcast about increasing transparency and education in finance. This is your host, Alan Lee, and welcome back to another episode of The Vampire Squid. So recently I've been reading Open, which is an autobiography by Andre Agassi, and it is a captivating read, talking about his growing up playing tennis, the pressures that he faced, the challenges that he had to overcome, his relationships with his dad, his mom, his brother, friends. It is a very, very great read. I'll actually post a link to the book, and there's a free PDF online, which is what I've been using to read the book, which is pretty cool. But I'll post that in my show notes for you guys in case you are interested in reading it as well. But enough about what I've been reading. Today for episode 19, we're going to be talking about investment frameworks. So last week I talked about trading options, and I've gotten a few emails from people asking about how I think about evaluating companies or even looking at stock. So I wanted to, share a resource that I've been using that I think could be helpful in your guys' evaluating company or looking at company's stock. So the resource is an investment checklist, a framework that I like to look over before making a decision on purchasing or not purchasing a company's stock. And the investment framework checklist was actually originated from a class in University of Virginia by a tiger cub called John Griffin. And for those of you who don't know what a tiger cub is, these are funds that were started by people that used to work at a hedge fund called Tiger Management, which was run by Julian Robertson, which is one of the most famous hedge funds. But basically, this guy had one of the best hedge funds, and a lot of his analysts or the people that worked with him branched out and started their own funds called Tiger Cubs. And they, I think for the most part, all of them have been doing very well. So definitely a good resource or a very credentialed person to be learning from. So I have been using this checklist for quite a few years, and I think it's been very helpful in terms of thinking about the company just making sure I am being a little bit more thorough in some of my research and thinking about the correct questions. So I know that I'm not a hedge fund analyst, and I think many of you don't have 80 plus hours per week to be, sitting and researching stock. And, a lot of us don't have the same resources that hedge funds do. We don't have proprietary research that we can conduct. We can't call up our equity research sell side analysts and ask them about their opinions and ask them questions. And we don't necessarily have a network of other hedge fund managers that have done deep research into stock. So even though we don't have all these resources, it is still very important, I think, to have a checklist before making any type of investment, because there is still available resources online. There's the 10Ks, the 10Qs. I think a lot of you will probably use Google Finance or Yahoo Finance for shortened and condensed versions of companies. There's always articles on the companies that you're looking into, things that are happening with the company. Although we don't have a Bloomberg terminal or Thomson Research or CapIQ, it is still really important to do your research before making any type of investment. So the way I'm going to structure today's episode is I am going to go over a few of the questions on the checklist that I probably spend more of my time thinking about. And obviously, I'll post a link to the checklist so that you guys can go in detail over, I think it's about 4 pages, you can go over the detailed checklist and use that as a resource before making further decisions in purchasing stock. So the way I think about stocks or companies, I have a two-part thought process. I think of it as wanting to answer two questions. One, is this a fundamentally good business? And two, is this the right timing? Obviously these are two questions that are very over-encompassing and can take a lot of research and diligence to answer correctly, but this is how I think of investing in companies. Is it a good company, and is this the right time? Because if you don't have both of them in the right order, then it it may not necessarily be a good investment. Okay, so to the questions that I probably spend the most time with in this checklist. The first one is, do you understand the business? And this is a simple question, but I think it's really important because, especially in the technology sector, there's a lot of companies out there and it's a ever-changing industry. So there's always new inventions, there's always new technologies emerging, and if you don't understand what the business does, it's probably a good idea to not invest in that company if you don't understand what they do. So, I mean, Warren Buffett invests traditionally in soda companies and hamburger companies. These are really easy to understand businesses. But when you have technology, when you have artificial intelligence, when you have Bitcoin, or you have bots, or you have all these different technologies emerging, you know, every other week, and new companies formed around them, it's difficult to keep up with all the technologies, and you should never invest in a company that you don't understand. So one good way to see if you can understand the business is if you can explain it to a 10-year-old. Can you simplify what the business does? You know, what is their technology? Who do they buy from? Who do they sell to? What's their market? If you can explain this coherently to a 10-year-old, then that's usually a good indicator that you understand what the company does. And I know, especially in technology, there's a lot of hype around companies. This company that just went IPO, they have a new technology, everyone's investing in it, analysts are bullish on it. But if you don't understand the company, then you can't manage the risks and you won't have an educated opinion on the company. There will be people out there that will understand the company a lot better than you do. And given that you'll never have perfect information, it's better to have as much information as you can on a company to not put yourself at a further disadvantage. The next question that I like to think about when looking at a company is, what is the competitive edge of the business? And these things could be things like maybe high barriers to entry. Maybe the company has a proprietary technology. Maybe the company has scale and it has pricing power. Maybe the company has established network effects. There's a lot of users already, things that would make it difficult for any other competitor to just jump in and compete with the business. And this is a pretty important question, because if the company doesn't have that many competitive advantages or very strong competitive advantages, then any other competitor could come in the next day or the next month and give your business a run for its money. And the next question I like to think about is, how is this company going to grow? So does this company still have a lot of room for penetration in its current market? Is it only maybe a few percent penetrated? Is it going to expand internationally? Can it raise its prices? So you need companies to grow so that the stock price can reflect that. And this is important to think about, because a company can be really good, but it could also be completely saturated in its market and it doesn't have that much room to grow. So if a company is already 80%, 90% penetrated in its target market and it's a really good company, but there's not that much room for growth. So the upside potential of the company is limited compared to maybe another stock or another company that is only, you know, 5 to 10% penetrated. So this is a very important question to think about. And, you know, if you look at companies, this is probably one of their most top questions on mind, how they can continue growing. And companies do this through new product streams, by acquiring companies, creating new technologies. This is, I think, one of the top most focus of a lot of companies out there. And the next question that I like to think about is, you know, what are some reasonable events that could cause this investment to be a disaster? You know, what are some reasonable things that could cause the price to drop or to cause perception of the company to change? So, I mean, an example of this would be, if you're a fast food company, a very reasonable risk is sanitary environments. If there's E. coli or Salmonella discovered in your product and it causes an outbreak, that will fundamentally change how people view your company, view your product, and it can cause a dramatic drop in the stock price. And this has obviously happened over the last couple of years to companies, and it's happened for many years, even beyond that. It's happened to some of the most popular fast food restaurants out there. They've had, you know, sanitary outbreaks. So it's important to think about these things. And then you also have to maybe go a step further and doing research into, you know, where do they source their products from? What are their ratings for cleanliness and things like that to try to understand this risk and hopefully have a better perception of the mitigations that the company has put in place to fight these risks. Because I think that cleanliness, health, and sanitary environments, especially for companies that handle food, is probably top of mind. And the last thing that I want to go over in today's episode that I think is really important for investing in a company is, you know, what is your investment thesis? What's your hypothesis? And your investment thesis could be things like, oh, because of this macro factor, I think the company will beat earnings for this quarter. Or it could be, oh, this company's stock price is extremely depressed and it has this proprietary technology that I know a lot of other companies want. I think this could be a great M&A target. And that could be your investment thesis. Another one could be this particular segment of the company hasn't been reported on too much and the company hasn't disclosed too much financial information, but I think that this segment of the company is extremely important and people are undervaluing this segment. So I think that, you know, once they do start providing more information or financials or growth rates on the specific segment, people will realize the potential of the specific segment of the company and cause the stock price to rise. So it's important to think about these things because you want to continuously learn and get better at buying companies and evaluating companies. And without investment thesis or hypothesis, a lot of your trades or a lot of the investments that you make, you won't be able to learn as much because you just maybe just bought the company just thinking it was going to go up, but you didn't really know why it was going to go up. It could have been because of an accident. It could have been for a million other reasons. But if you have a investment thesis or a hypothesis, then you can evaluate your thought process in companies and seeing if you're correctly predicting things in companies or, you know, why you're predicting things incorrectly. So I think it's very important to have an investment thesis. And outside of these questions, the last overarching question is on timing, which is what we thought about before in the earlier part of the episode. So, I mean, you've done the research for, you know, a few of these questions. You've looked at the investment checklist. You've determined if the company is, you know, a fundamentally good company or if it's a fundamentally bad company. You know, is this the right timing for investment into this company? So, you know, for example, in your investment thesis, you could have thought, hey, I think this is a potential M&A target. And I think, you know, because of the proprietary technology and because of the depressed stock price, it'll be a takeover. But this could be wrong timing for investing to the stock because maybe all the M&A takeover and speculation is already priced into the stock. Maybe there's already a lot of news articles out there about people talking about the company being purchased and a lot of investors are already expecting that. So this might not be the best time to buy in because your upside potential is a lot lower since a lot of your thesis has already been priced in. And another example of wrong timing could be maybe the company's trading at, you know, 52-week highs, and even though it's a fundamentally good company, the company has been overhyped, and because of, you know, news articles or because of, you know, other resources, a lot of the hype around the company has caused the valuation to be too high. And you know, even good companies can have very high valuations that make it unreasonable for an investment or completely limits your upside. So these wouldn't be a particular company that you would want to invest in because the timing might be off. So, I mean, I hope this was helpful in terms of some of the questions that I like to think about in the investment checklist and, you know, the overarching theme of, is this the right time to buy in or buy out of the stock? You know, I once again, I will provide the investment checklist I'll provide a link to that in my show notes so that you guys can print it out and, you know, tape it on your wall and think about these questions before you purchase into a company in the future. But if you guys have any questions, comments, suggestions, please feel free to always visit my website, thevampiresquid.com, and my Facebook page, facebook.com/thevampiresquid. Also, if you guys are interested in helping support, you can go to patreon.com/thevampiresquid, and I'll post all these links in my show notes, as always. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you guys on the next episode.